I'm Billy Ayuso. I'm a guitar player here in New Orleans.
And what's the title of the new record?
Naked.
Naked. Why? Why Naked?
It's a little more stripped down for me. I'm not hiding so much behind a band. 80% of the songs were built from the guitar up. You know, it's Get Naked.
But you're not naked on the cover.
No, that's not me. Definitely not. I did it over at Oak Street Recording, which was kind of intimate. It's close to where I live. And I did it over a course of, God, I guess about 6 months. And I did it piece by piece. I got about a third way through it and then realized I needed more songs and forced myself to write some more songs, which, funny enough, turned out to be, I think, the stronger songs. So usually that's the opposite when I'm filling holes in a record. It's usually the fillers. But, you know, I really like it. It's it's like I said earlier to you before we were recording, I think it's something that I can listen to still. Most of my records, I'll put on a song and be like, okay, that's cool, you know, moving on. But this album, I can listen to almost 8 out of 10 tracks and enjoy all of them. So, and I'm not going to tell you which ones I don't like.
Yeah. Well, then what's one that you do like?
I think the first 4 songs on the record are real strong. I See You is the opening track. That was one that I kind of knew I needed more songs and wrote it quickly. And that one was really built around the acoustic guitar. I even did the drum tracks after the fact, which was, you know, for something, I'm from the funk world where you always do drums and bass first, but we did that one backwards, and I liked the way it came out. Do or Die is the second song, and that's written by John Fole, guitar player here in town, and it's just a great song. That was suggested by Anders, because Anders helped me co-produce the record.
Anders Osborne.
Yes. And what's the third song is Your Kind of Fool, strong song written by Jake Miller, an old friend of mine. He recently passed a few years ago, and I wanted to honor him by doing that song. You know, and then it's just, I went to like more of a 3-4 minute song thing instead of a 6-7 minute jammy type thing, and really concentrated on the song itself, and whatever did justice for the song, I honored that instead of just plowing through it on a live approach. So
I wanted to ask you about your background a little bit. You're from New York originally. How did you end up in New Orleans?
Well, I was I had a band called Brides of Jesus that I had in the late 90s, and we would open for the Meters and bands of that such. I became friends with George and Art and Russell real well, and Brian and Leo even too. So we did a lot of shows with them. We were a backup band for Leo at one point. They kept suggesting to me, they would see me with different band members all the time. And they'd say, you know, you're going through band members like you are underwear. So you ought to come to New Orleans. And after a few times of hearing that, and in my personal life, I had recently been single and just at a point where I was down to one band member left, and we up and came to New Orleans, and you know, I never left at that point. I found it pretty comfortable for myself. Took me a few years to fit into the speed and all that, but I'm there now.
Was there anything that particularly surprised you about the music community in New Orleans as opposed to in other cities?
No, because I had already been dabbling in it. I already knew the kinship and the, you know, like, I mean, literally George Porter and his wife sent me the newspaper with apartments circled. My first place I lived when I lived here was Russell Batiste's couch. So it was that type of openness that I already knew existed. I used to come here without a drummer and hire Raymond Weber or Russell to play a gig with me at Tips before I lived here. So, you know, I already kind of knew what it was all about, but it is unlike anywhere else. I mean, New York has a community, but it's not like this. I mean, New Orleans, we all help each other, and which, if other communities could figure that out, they'd realize why we're so strong, I think, because strength in numbers, truly. You know, we're not really, there is a competition thing that we have, but it's a friendly competition usually between other New Orleans artists. You know, someone gets a gig that I want, if it's, say, for a friend's band, oh yeah, I'm bummed I didn't get it, but I'm glad they got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Yeah. And it was 1996 when you moved here?
96, yeah. January 96.
What was the music world here like when you first arrived?
I think it was kind of in a transitional stage where it is to getting where it is now. You know, It was funny because when I came here, and everybody knows me kind of as the deadhead of town, because I'm very familiar with the Grateful Dead scene and all that, and I can play all those songs. And it wasn't very welcomed when I first got here, I'll tell you that much. And now it's funny to me to watch Anders and George and all these people go off. And I mean, in fact, last night Anders played with Phil Lesh of the Grateful Dead. So it's funny to me that it's been so accepted. But I mean, that's how I learned about this stuff, was through the Grateful Dead and Little Feet. Was how I learned about the Nevilles and the Meters and Alan Toussaint. I mean, that's, you know, I wasn't from here, so I would study albums and see where they got songs from or whatever. First time I saw the Nevilles was with the Dead, you know, and then they did an after show in New York when I was 17 years old. So back then, it was, you know, we had Benny's was still open. I think that was Felix was owning it at the time, and that was a cool, you know, uptown scene. The Leaf, Muddy Waters had just closed, Jimmy's was still going. And I guess he's going to be open again, which is good news. But it was a little different. It was a little more spread out. The funk scene was, there was like this neo-funk scene just about to start. Galactic was just starting to rise at that point. There was the Flavor Kings. And I mean, there's a lot of Iris May Tango. So there was a strong little scene, but it seemed that that was the beginning of it. It was not as nationwide, and nowadays, you know, everybody knows Honey Island through The Nation and all these bands that come out of the same sort of scene. So I think it's stronger now, but that was kind of the birth of it all, I think, you know, like the newer generation of New Orleans music that's popping out. And I'm talking electric New Orleans music. I'm not talking brass bands and stuff like that, you know, because that's the world I know. I mean, I love all the other stuff, but I don't know it as well.
Who are the musical collaborators that you've had here in New Orleans that have been the most important to you over the years?
Oh, I mean, number one, biggest help and fan, friend, player in town probably would be George Porter. I mean, he's been there on my bad sides and my good sides, and I think we both are at a good spot now. We have a lot of fun. We play together, and he's very helpful still to this day. I mean, I used to open for the Meters. I think the first time we met was probably Tramps in New York, 95, 94, something like that. And I did a bunch of opening acts for them, and, you know, they're pretty friendly guys. If they like the band, they'll, you know, and we got kind of tight that way.
Any memories of playing with George over the years that stick out in your memory?
We have good times all the time. But yeah, recently we both were hired as an artist at large at a festival. And I say fest lightly because it was a club that has a festival. It's like a 3-day club festival celebrating their anniversary. And they hired George and I to just sit in with a bunch of different people. And we really weren't familiar with any of the other bands. So me and him kind of bonded quickly on that. And we both had our wives there, and we just had a great time. You know, we showed up every day, did what we had to do, and had fun. And just, you know, I at many different levels where I was a fan looking at George. And then I worked for George, and now I'm playing with George. And it's a very unique situation. And each time I work with him, it's always a joy, no matter whether I worked for him, watched him as a fan, enjoyed his music, or now work with him on stage playing music. It's always the same. It's always a good thing. You know, he's an inspiration to me. I mean, as far as that goes, he's almost 20 years older than me, and he goes out there and kicks, you know, every night. Every night. I mean, it doesn't matter if he played and flew in from Honolulu that morning and comes to the Maple Leaf and made $2,000 a night before and is only making $200 this night. He's going to give you the same. And that's an inspiration, because he truly loves playing music. And that's what I got into it for, too. I like music. The rest of it, the business, I hope to have people to handle that part of it. But I like playing music.
Yeah. What area of town do you live in?
I live in the 12th Ward. I bought a house there in 2003, and it flooded. I put it back together and paid it off, and that's where I'll stay. Because, yeah, we like it over there. It's been good. We got good neighbors, and it's fun.
What do you like about the area over there?
It's colorful. I mean, I have some sketchy neighborhoods like everybody does in New Orleans around them, but I have some great neighbors. I mean, I'm leaving town all the time. So I tell my neighbor, look, I'll be gone for 2 weeks. All right, have fun. We'll keep an eye on the place. And haven't had a problem, you know, and it's comfortable. It's comfortable. I like my home. I'm almost 45 years old, so home is a good place.
How many kids do you have?
I have three. I have a stepson who I've raised since he was two, who's now in NOCA. He's a junior in NOCA.
What's he studying there?
He's jazz, drums. He's a great player. I have a daughter who's 11 and a son who is 6. Hands full.
Well, speaking of hands full, you've got your guitar with you here. Do you think you'd be able to do a song maybe from the new record?
Yeah, I'm going to play Valerie. This is a song that I wrote the chords and the melody, and I had some pieces of words. And man, I literally, every time I picked up the guitar, I was playing it to try to finish it, and I could not finish it. So this is the one that I brought to Anders, and he kind of filled in the holes for me. He wrote, I'd say, a good 2/3 of the words with me. It's grown, and the song's become quite a good thing live. It has a middle break where we just kind of go off and have fun, which I can't really do here, but it's a good song. I enjoy playing it, so.
Rising up from the sea, your faith is blinding, and your voice set me free. Yeah, your voice set me free. Like the angels in heaven, the sound of your refrain carries me away, where I feel no pain, where I feel no pain. Yeah, I don't need a symphony, no drums or timpani. All I really wanted you to be was a song, Valerie, just a song, Valerie. Like a piece of art, but something changed forever deep inside my heart, deep inside my heart. If you see me dancing like I did back then, make sure when you find me, you'll sing that song again. Just sing that song again. Yeah, I don't need a symphony, no drums or timpani. All I really wanted you to be was a song, Valerie. Yeah, I don't need a symphony, no drums or timpani. All I really wanted you to be was a song, Valerie, just a song, Valerie.
All right. Beautiful. So the record is called Naked, and it's available.
It's available. It's Naked. I'd prefer to get it at Louisiana Music Factory if you can, but it's CD Baby, iTunes. But try to support Louisiana Music Factory.
Yeah. Well, Billy, thank you so much for stopping by and talking with me.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, you're right.